I'm Jeb Sharp with The World. Here's a tricky question for you. What do humans, short-finned pilot whales, and orcas have in common? They're the only three mammals known to experience menopause. Even chimpanzees, our closest primate cousins, are able to reproduce throughout their natural life. So why don't we have that same ability? It's a bit of an evolutionary mystery. But researchers are hoping that orcas, aka killer whales, could help us figure it out. My BBC colleague, Victoria Gill, made a documentary exploring what orcas can teach us about our own life cycle. So why is the menopause considered so hard to explain in evolution?
Well, it's a bit of a conundrum when you sort of think about it in terms of the kind of Darwinian doctrine that a lot of people might be familiar with, the idea of natural selection. So that's that anything that that decreases your chances of your genes being passed to the next generation, that would be sort of phased out by this process of natural selection. So why would any animal evolve to stop reproduction, to stop passing on their genes so early in life? And it's a conundrum. It's also extremely rare. It's something only seen in three mammals: ourselves, killer whales, and this lesser-known family of whales, the short-finned pilot whales. And these killer whales have been documented for so long, these killer whales off the North Pacific coast, that they provide the perfect wild ecosystem to start looking at this big evolutionary question.
So tell us about the orcas.
Well, they're amazing. It was a real pleasure to go out there with the Centre for Whale Research and the British researchers from the Universities of Exeter and York. We're there working with them, working with the people who've lived alongside and studied these whales for so long. It's a population known as a clan of 83 animals, and they're called the Southern Residents because they come into the Harrow Strait, these sort of inshore waters between Canada and Washington State every single summer, and they only eat salmon, and that's why they come there, because they're hunting the salmon. And they're beautiful, graceful, huge animals that the intelligence really radiates off them. And one really interesting thing about them is how social they are, how family bonded they are. And it's these social bonds and these interactions that have really shown just how much of an important role these post-reproductive females, these post-menopausal females, are playing in the family group.
What are they actually doing that's so remarkable?
Well, some of the things that the researchers have already published findings on, they've looked at 40 years of data that have been gathered by documenting and cataloguing these whales. And what they found is that these great older matriarchs, often post-reproductive females who've been post-reproductive for many years, they lead the group. And even more strangely, they're not just in the lead showing their families and their pods where to find the salmon, it would seem, but they do that more when there's less salmon around. So during a bad year, the salmon sort of fluctuates, there's good years and bad years. And during a bad year when the salmon is really low, that's when they really see these great matriarchs taking the lead. What they infer from that is that there's this accumulated wisdom, this kind of ecological wisdom about where to find fish when there's a bit of a drought. So they're playing an incredibly important role in feeding their families and keeping their families alive.
And in that sense, you can presumably make an evolutionary argument for menopause.
Well, yeah, that's quite right, because that's the other way in which we can ensure that we pass on our genes to the next generation, by looking after our family's family, our children's children. It's something that has been seen in hunter-gatherer populations in humans as well. There's some really interesting literature that's come out of a researcher at the University of Utah called Kristen Hawkes, who studied the Hadza people of northern Tanzania, and she's seen these industrious grandmothers in this Hadza population of people working to look after the youngsters, look after their daughters' children. And they call this the grandmother effect, where where basically the grandmothers are having a measurable impact on the survival of their children. And it's being seen here in the orcas too. In fact, the researchers actually measured that when these older matriarchs die, there's an eightfold increase in the chance of her adult sons dying in the year following her death. So the impact is particularly on these sons, on these adult male orcas, but it's having a measurable impact on the survival probability of her family. So by assuming this incredibly important role, by assuming this leadership role, she's really having an impact on the future generations of her own pod.
You spent time following one particularly famous orca, Granny.
Yeah.
Please tell us about her.
Oh, I was so excited to see her. She is amazing. She's called J2. That's her formal name, because all of the three pods in the clan are called J, K, and L pod. They belong to it. The whole clan comes together in this place, but Granny is the leader of J-Pod. She's called J2, but affectionately known as Granny because she is the oldest known wild killer whale. Scientists estimate that she could be as much as 105. They estimated her age when they first started studying these orcas in the 1970s, from the age of her offspring. And when they started studying her, she'd already stopped having her own babies. She'd already stopped having her own calves. But since then, she's been in the lead of this pod throughout the entire study. And even more strangely, there's actually an adult male from another pod who has latched on to Granny. This is a male orca from L pod who lost his own mother but managed to survive that, then apparently moved to K pod and tagged along with two other older females. They both died, and now he's been hanging out with Granny for several years. And the researchers say they will see them swimming side by side, very close to each other. And even that some of these older matriarchs will be sharing food with these adult males. So perhaps Granny is sharing food with her adopted son or her toy boy.
So what is the big takeaway here in terms of how we understand menopause and perhaps menopause in our own human society?
Well, I think that the takeaway message from some of the work that the researchers have already published is that the role of females post-reproductively does not stop. It doesn't fade away. If anything, it becomes more important, that this wisdom and this knowledge that can only be garnered over time becomes extremely valuable post-reproductively.
My BBC colleague, Victoria Gill, thanks for telling us about all of this.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.